Welcome to Faithful Echoes, the sermon podcast from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. New episodes are available every Monday, featuring the Collect of the Day, scripture readings, and Father Joel Hufstetler's insightful sermon from the previous Sunday. Perfect for catching up on missed sermons or revisiting favorites, find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and our website at www.stlukescleveland.org/podcast. Subscribe now for spiritual reflections that fit seamlessly into your week.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Let's pray.
Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. God spoke all these words to Moses on Mount Sinai. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord our God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 19. Found on page 606 of the Book of Common Prayer. We will read responsively by half verse. The heavens declare the glory of God.
The firmament shows his handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another.
And one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language. Their sound has gone out into all lands.
And their message to the ends of the world.
In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run his course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs around about to the end of it again.
Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, and gives wisdom to the innocent.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear, and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold.
Sweeter are than honey and comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened. Who can tell how he offends? Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me.
Then shall I be bold and sound, and innocent of grave offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the third Sunday in Lent. Just a few weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, we began that important liturgy with these words, "Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent." The perfect way to begin a new Lenten season. On a note of forgiveness, and reconciliation. Words perfect for the beginning of Lent, but also words perfect for the entirety of our lives. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Just a little later in the Ash Wednesday liturgy, just before the imposition of ashes, the celebrant says, I invite you in the name of the church to the observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, and to make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now kneel before the Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. That word is important to the sermon today, Redeemer. When we receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday, we are reminded of our humanity and indeed of our mortality. And yet we receive those ashes in the name of our Redeemer, our hope in Christ. Psalm 19 is one of the most memorable of the Psalms. It can be divided up into three discrete sections. Verses 1 through 6 praise God for the glories of creation. Verses 7 through 10 praise God for the wisdom of the law. And verses 11 through 14 of Psalm 19 deal with our response to the glory of God revealed in creation and the wisdom of God revealed in the law. Psalm 19, 1 through 4 reads, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the earth. A beautiful hymn to the glory of God made known in creation. And then in verses 7 through 8, the law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. A beautiful hymn of thanksgiving for the wisdom revealed to us in the law. But what of our response to the glory of God made known in creation and the wisdom of God made known in the law? Here's what the psalmist says in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's that word again, redeemer. One of the most memorable verses in all of Scripture, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. A perfect framework for the season of Lent. Our actions and our thoughts are meant to be acceptable to God. But of course, this verse is a perfect framework for the entirety of our lives. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Along with the Lord's Prayer, I cannot think of a better daily guide than Psalm 19, verse 14. Paired with the Lord's Prayer, there's extraordinary wisdom for daily life in those two passages, the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 19, verse 14. One of my Lenten disciplines is to read books on preaching by or about some of the great preachers of our time. I started this Lent by reading a book called Claypool, which is a biography of John Claypool. And then I read a book by John Claypool called The Preaching Event. John Claypool started out as a Southern Baptist pastor. He was in the progressive wing of that movement. Early in his career, John Claypool was an assistant pastor in Decatur, Georgia. And at that point, he met and became a friend of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And from that time in his life until his death, John Claypool was a tireless advocate for civil rights. Late in his career, John Claypool moved to what he called another room in God's house, the Episcopal Church. This famous progressive Baptist pastor very publicly became an Episcopal priest. It's a wonderful way to put it, another room in God's house. When I came into the church in the late 1980s, John Claypool was widely regarded as the finest preacher among Episcopal clergy in the country. So after I finished Claypool, I've gone just last night to The Preaching Life by Barbara Brown Taylor. When you're talking to an Episcopalian, if they say BBT, they may be referring to the bank, but they're probably referring to Barbara Brown Taylor. In Episcopal speak, BBT is typically Barbara Brown Taylor. And at this moment, Barbara Brown Taylor is probably regarded by a majority of Episcopalians as the finest preacher in our room of God's house. BBT came to prominence in Atlanta. She's a product of Candler School of Theology, was an assistant priest at All Saints Atlanta in Midtown, and now lives in North Georgia, really not all that far from us. So John Claypool's not a bad way to start a Lenten discipline, and Barbara Brown Taylor, not a bad part of a Lenten discipline. But in the middle, I read a book by Tim Keller, called Preaching, Communicating Faith in an Age of Skepticism. It's a powerful and challenging title, Preaching, Communicating Faith in an Age of Skepticism. Keller started ministry in Hopewell, Virginia, in a small Presbyterian church. In the preface to his book on preaching, he thanks the people of Hopewell for giving him his start and for being patient with him while he was a new and experienced preacher. Tim Keller, one of the great preachers of our time, says in the preface to his book on preaching, "In seminary, I got a well-deserved C in preaching." That wash over you. Tim Keller got a C in preaching in seminary. It proves that there's hope for us all, right? With enough time and enough practice, enough time opening ourselves up to the Spirit of God, we all can grow and evolve in ministry. In 1989, Tim and Kathy Keller was absolutely involved in every phase of Tim Keller's ministry. They left Hopewell, Virginia and went to New York City in 1989 and founded a brand new church, which they called Redeemer. There's that word again, Redeemer. From zero, Redeemer Presbyterian Church has grown to over 5,000 members since 1989, and they now meet on multiple campuses in New York City. Tim and Kathy Keller have an entrepreneurial spirit about them, and they've also founded a movement called Redeemer City to City. And through Redeemer City to City, they have founded over 300 churches in 50 cities around the world. From no members to over 5,000, plus starting 300 other congregations. from a senior pastor who got a C in preaching in seminary. I just read the book Preaching by Keller between Claypool and now I'm reading BBT. The book is 240 pages with 70 pages of endnotes. It's beautifully crafted, carefully worded at every turn. It's a brilliant book on preaching. But out of those 240 pages and 70 pages of endnotes, I can tell you the thesis of the book in one sentence. Preach Christ in every sermon. 240 carefully crafted, compelling pages. 70 pages of fulsome endnotes. All to make the point. Christian preachers are meant to preach Christ in every sermon. Even when we preach on the Old Testament, we're to anticipate the coming of Christ. In preaching on the Hebrew Scriptures, we're to see how they announce the future coming of Christ. Whatever the day in the church year, whatever the mood of the nation, whatever's happening in the world, Tim Keller advises preachers, preach Christ in every sermon. But I come back to what they named that new church in New York City, Redeemer. The name itself reminds us the place of Christ in our lives. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. The first words we hear each year on Ash Wednesday. The first words we hear every year to begin a new season of Lent. Yes, the words remind us of our humility, but they also remind us of our ever-present hope in Christ. Our Lord never, ever hates us. He offers us His love, His forgiveness, His reconciliation, and a clean slate. There are countless ways to observe a holy Lent, countless. Only you know the best path for you this year, like only I know the best path for me. I do say this in closing. We could do a lot worse than reminding ourselves in Lent of the wisdom of the psalmist. And we can take that discipline from Lent and apply it every day throughout the remainder of the year. First thing in the morning, at midday or in the early evening or at night, we're wise to remember the wisdom of the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.